and welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live right here from our studios, and we want to welcome each and every one of you into the Wednesday morning edition of our broadcast. And we hope that you have been enjoying the broadcasts throughout these many weeks where we have somewhat changed the format. We hope that many of you that were longtime listeners of the Grace Hour have stayed with us as we continue to develop different themes on a weekly basis. And the hope, of course, is that these themes will help you in your daily challenges and help you learn more about your faith in a very practical way. My name is Pastor John Love. I'm joined in the studio almost each and every Wednesday by Pastor Barry Quirk. And we're here to discuss today a little bit more about this whole thought of prosperity theology, the so-called prosperity gospel. I'm not so sure that there's any good news connected with it, but we'll talk about it and invite you to join the conversation as well. We always love to give our listeners the chance to weigh in and share their thoughts with us live on the broadcast. And today we'll do that and open those phone lines right from the outset of the program so that you can join us and weigh in with your comments and questions. Here are those telephone numbers, toll free. That number is 800-338-7060, and you can dial that toll free number in all of North America. And we hope that many of you will join us on our live broadcast today. And if you're listening in the local Baltimore area, you could join us, friends, at 410-483-3700. And we really look forward to having you participate and be a part of our broadcast. This broadcast is for you. And the more you participate, I think the more enhanced the program becomes. But again, as we said, our subject matter, the prosperity gospel. Pastor Barry, another way of saying it is the word of faith movement. People mm-hmm. use that term. In other words, just, speak it. Or make a confession of what it is that you want or what you want God to give you, and he will do it. I think sometimes people refer to it as blab it and grab it. That's one way of saying it. But the fascinating thing, and we'll just kind of lay the groundwork and develop this as the program progresses today, is in this prosperity movement, the believer is told how to use God. Biblical truth, on the other hand, teaches that God uses the believer. So it just seems like the understanding of this prosperity movement is that they've got things all reversed.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely right. And you're right, it's called the prosperity gospel, but and there is some good news in there, but the question is whether it's fake news. That's what thought to hear in recent years. But yeah, it's upside down. It's absolutely right that people are of the opinion in many cases that they have the opportunity to manipulate God into responding to their needs. Even just the name of the gospel and those other names, and you said the blab it and grab it gospel. I think there could have been a pool about which one of us said that first.
Yes.
Kind of an ironic name, but the name it and claim it gospel, or the seed of faith, as you said, or even the health and wealth gospel, you know, that there's been a misappropriation of God's intention towards the believer, and that, you know, God is most concerned with how our faith weighs in and whether that has earned us our health and our wealth. And well, there's a lot of area for misunderstanding in that.
Yeah. It, no question about it. And I think that this movement sees the Holy Spirit as a power to be put to use for whatever the believer wants or wills or desires. Mm-hmm. And that's so unfortunate, because we understand the teaching from Jesus regarding the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's ministry was, you know, he came very clearly, very specifically to reveal Christ to the heart of the believer, and then through the believer to reveal Christ to the world and those in it that are unbelieving. So to say, you know, or to take the ministry of the Holy Spirit and to say, no, that power is reserved for, as you said, health and wealth and really anything and everything that the believer wants or desires in life is so unfortunate. And I think it's safe to say that when you look at these teachers and those who proclaim this prosperity message, I mean, are we talking about false teachers here?
Boy, it sure seems so. I mean, there's some borderline heretical teachings that happen in this gospel. And, you know, anytime you attach material and especially financial success as a sign of God's divine favor, you're running into trouble. I mean, it's just, you know, Mother Teresa was not a wealthy lady, and everything that she did receive, she gave. And yet, if you asked her about whether she was experiencing the divine favor, you could say unequivocally. And there's so many instances, which I'm sure we'll get into some of them, but of the way that Christ revealed himself to people, you know, didn't pertain necessarily to how big their house was or to, you know, how much of the later designer clothes that they had. But were they interested in finding out what his will is for their life and then honoring it in a way that would bring glory to him?
It's a popular movement, though, isn't it? And I think that we should also speak in terms of a balanced perspective here, mm-hmm. and that is that, you know, God does want to prosper his people, mm-hmm. Clearly, first and foremost, in their souls. And that's something that we can talk about a little later in the broadcast from 3 John. There's only one chapter, verse 2, mm-hmm. where John writes and says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And we'll talk about that. But yes, of course, God wants to provide all of our needs. Mm-hmm. And I think that that brings us back to that great truth in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything will be added unto you. But it seems like the addition has moved into multiplication, mm-hmm. and just continues to grow and grow and grow. But to me, it strikes this false balance. And when you see it abused, you know, this message being propagated and people jumping on that bandwagon and saying, yes, it's all about being healthy and it's all about prospering and great material wealth, monetary wealth. It seems like that just gives more occasion to the enemy to bring reproach upon the name of Christ. Mm. In other words, you know, Christians, all you care about is your wealth. All you care about is prosperity. All you care about is being healthy. When in reality, our first great priority should be to evangelize the world with the true gospel of the grace of God.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you imagine Christianity being measured against the other religions of the world and being measured only by how successful we are, how wealthy we are, how healthy we are, that's right from the get-go a misnomer, and it's certainly not going to draw people to Christ. But, you know, interesting you said about people's needs being met. There's a big question between wants and needs, right? And, you know, in Christian ethics, there's a question about, for the believer, how much is enough? You know, is it that I'm in business as a businessman and I'm creating wealth for myself and then for my family, and at what point is it enough? And am I building a bigger storehouse, a bigger barn for that wealth? You know, is God allowing me to get wealth so that I can give it to the kingdom of God? I mean, let's face it, the kingdom of God needs people who have the financial means to help support it. But I would say that the test that's involved in that is huge. And, you know, is there a point at which I'm no longer fulfilling the will of God and giving money to the purpose of God, and it's becoming a personal storehouse for me? And you can say, well, my family and their family, and, you know, but what is God's desire? Is his desire that we would just create riches and then there would be no dependence upon him? As you said, Matthew 6:33 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge him, and he's the one who directs our paths. So it's a great point that you bring up.
And I think that the teachings of Christ are very, very clear. Luke chapter 12, you alluded to it a moment ago, and this statement is so powerful when it comes to having a healthy perspective and an understanding about the prosperity movement when Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of those things which he possesses. But today, some almost would measure a person's spirituality on the basis of the abundance of their possessions. But Jesus said that's not what a man's life is all about. And yet it get caught up. We so often refer to it as getting caught up in the rat race of life, where it becomes these material possessions. And I used to love the way Pastor Stevens used to describe it. You know, there's nothing wrong with possessing possessions. You cannot afford to let your possessions possess you, right? I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a home. Just don't let your home possess you.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, it can become their obsession.
Yes.
Even beyond a possession, where it's they just pour their lives into it. Mm-hmm. And you're pouring your life into something that's passing away. And God says, I want you to pour your life into something that's going to last for eternity.
Yeah, absolutely. Think about the idols that happen in people's lives. You know, do I have enough? And if I have enough for the lifestyle that I'm in now, does that become something that grows into a lack once I have reached a certain level and have to find new friends that stretch my desires or what my goal and what my attaining is? You know, and the attack really about lacking wealth is equivalent to lacking faith, or, you know, even lacking health is equivalent to lacking faith. Boy, imagine all of the people that we have known in Christianity and throughout the Word that have been afflicted or have been in difficult situations and have placed their trust solely in God. The widow's mite, you know, giving. You know, the instance of having a little flour and a little oil, and then I'm going to die. And, you know, there's these situations where God has met the need in such a small capacity way, and these people have prospered in an incredible way. And eternity will tell us how much that widow's mite really meant, or how much the person who, you know, only has the sandals on their feet but trusted Jesus Christ with all their heart, really the true value of the wealth that they had.
Amen. Friends, you can join us at any time. The phone lines will remain open during our broadcast today. Here are the numbers again, 800-338-7060, which is the toll-free number throughout all of North America. And here in the Baltimore area, you can join us at 410-483-3700. And it's so unfortunate when those who propagate this false teaching, when they look down upon other believers who perhaps are sick and not healthy, or perhaps are not wealthy, they're not prospering from a financial or a materialistic standpoint, you can have a tendency to look at them and think, well, you know, you've got a deficient faith, or you have an inferior quality of faith, when in reality, as you just pointed out, you could be Mother Teresa. And you could be greatly blessed by God. And anytime, what's fascinating about her life and example was that anytime she did get wealth, she immediately distributed it to those that needed it much more than she did.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think about the things in our lives that we're to be motivated by. The difference between love and lust, for instance. Love is something that is done completely for the benefit of another. And lust is something that's consumed upon myself. And really, in the world today where the statement "I love you" is so misused, it really should be "I lust you," because there is such a lack of desire to see that others are needs are met. And Mother Teresa is a perfect example. And the reason that we go out and share the gospel is not so that we can measure some, you know, achieve some measure that now that we've initiated on behalf of God, that we have demanded a response from God, and now we should be having our needs met because I served God to some degree. You know, faith is not some self-generated spiritual force that leads to prosperity, and I think that's the way it's demonstrated in a lot of this gospel or this prosperity teaching. You know, Orthodox Christianity understands that faith is trust in the person of Jesus Christ, and it espouses that, whereas the prosperity teachers would say faith is some force or spiritual energy or power that makes the laws of the spirit world function for their benefit or their behalf.
Yeah. Once again, just the whole idea of using God instead of God using you.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, when God called perhaps one of the greatest saints who ever lived in the church age, Saul of Tarsus, and he experienced his conversion, God did not say to him in Acts chapter 9, or say to Ananias, listen, he's a chosen vessel, and I must show him what great things he must prosper for my name's sake. No, he said, I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake, which is, you know, just the opposite.
Just the opposite.
And I'm sure that that does not appeal to the natural man in anyone's life, this whole idea of suffering. But this is a theme that we discussed not long ago here in the Grace Hour. And I think that we put that theme in perspective, and I think that this theme has to be put in perspective beside it. Because, again, we're not suggesting that, you know, believers are not to be taken care of, provided for. God, I love the way the Apostle Paul, he described it. He said, you know what the secret is? Contentment. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, he says, not that I am speaking to you in respect of want, but I've learned in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. That's his way of saying, I know how to have nothing and to just trust God. And I know how to abound when God blesses me beyond anything I could ever hope or imagine. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he tells us the answer as to why he can do that. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that whole thing of learning how to be abased and how to abound is such an awesome, profitable exercise. And contentment, you know, contentment. That some people would actually attack you and say that if you're sitting there content, that you're passive. When really, if the intention of our activities in the Word and in Christ and in faith are that we would achieve something personally or some gain or some benefit, we're missing the point. When we invest because this is what God has called for us to do and he desires for us to do, and the fruit of it is that he meets our every need, not every want necessarily. Sometimes the prosperity teachers teach that you have not because you ask not. On the other hand, they don't remember the part that says, because you ask amiss. You know, you ask for something to be consumed in your own needs, and really God wants us to be before him for those very needs.
Amen. Well, if you can't join us by phone, and we hope that some of you will, weigh in and share your thoughts on the chat. We're waiting for you to share what you think about this all-important subject and theme that we're discussing throughout this week on the Grace Hour. It is interesting to note that the only disciple that Jesus had that was concerned about wealth was Judas.
That's pretty telling.
That is pretty telling. I mean, I'm not suggesting, neither does the Bible suggest, that none of the other disciples ever thought about it,
right,
or even talked about it.
Yeah.
But the one that was clearly focused on it, to the extent that when it looked like his fortunes were going to be lost because Christ was going to be crucified and was going to go to the cross, he sold him out for 30 pieces of silver.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe there's a message in that life of Judas, a warning, if you will, from God, a red flag that he posts to say to us, be careful, because money, unlike so many other things, can really mislead you, deceive you, bring you down the wrong road of life.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially the love of money, right? It's the root of all evil. Now, we know we need money to exist and that we do have real needs, and we're not suggesting here today or in any of our teaching that it's wrong to ask God for his provision. We believe that wholeheartedly. It's just what measure of emphasis do I put on that as far as my faith lacking, or, you know, I guess I'm not getting blessed because I don't have enough faith, or, you know, these are not things that we need to contemplate that way, you know, that God has our needs in mind. And, you know, he cares for the sparrows. He cares for he knows the number of hairs in my head, which is getting easier for him to do all the time. but yeah, it's such a misunderstood and misemphasized, if we can say it that way, teaching. It leaves people frustrated and empty, and it's the exact opposite of what God wants, which is for us to be trusting and to be content and not lackadaisical or lazy. You know, our faith is active. You know, we're convinced that faith without works is dead, but it's the fruit of our faith that produces the works. It's not the works that justifies the faith.
And I think that if you always have to be healthy, and gosh, our prayer is that we would be, mm-hmm. but that simply isn't the case. Let's remember that we're living in a broken, sinful world, and we have old, sinful natures, and we have bodies of death,
yes.
Paul described them. So again, for somebody to say, I must always maintain good health, that's a sign of God's blessing. That's a sign of God's favor upon my life. I think the danger that exists in that, whether you lack health or you lack wealth, is that you could be brought into a faith crisis,
mm-hmm.
where the devil could say, look, you aren't healthy, therefore there's something wrong with you, there's something wrong with what you believe about God, there's something wrong with your faith. And what does that do but takes our hearts and our minds off of the object of our faith, which is Christ, and we start to look at ourselves. And that is like the proverbial black hole.
Absolutely.
And it's dangerous.
Yeah. Whereas really what God may be doing is allowing us to have an opportunity that in our sufferings, when we fellowship with him, that he's glorified, which is an amazing thing. That we place our trust in him. We don't put the emphasis of whether we're suffering or not suffering on our faith or the lack thereof, but an opportunity that God has allowed me to go through something that might be an example for others. And he is faithful to give us the provision in that situation. And eternity will tell what things he allowed us to endure, as Job, right? And, Job's friends had some things to say about why he was suffering what he was suffering. And some of those things probably weren't far off from the truth, except that they lacked the major spirit of why God was allowing that situation to happen. And I also think it's interesting that the Lord's Prayer says very simply, give us this day our daily bread. He doesn't say, open the bakery so that we don't have to ask you tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And it's interesting that manna that came from heaven fell on a daily basis, and that the nation of Israel was fed on a daily basis and couldn't stack it up except for the specific times when God told them to do so for the Sabbath. And God's provision always seems to be, rely on me every single day of your life, every moment of your life, and I will certainly bless you, but it'll be in the measure that I deem valuable to your life to have that blessing.
Yeah, because it would be easy, and I think that you pointed this out earlier in the broadcast, it would be easy to forget God in the midst of all of the blessings, and to learn to depend upon those blessings rather than to depend upon God. And I'm certain that God's not going to do that in anyone's life that really has a heart after him. Yep. He's not going to do that. He's not going to create all this wealth and health so that we'll start looking and depending upon that rather than him.
Yep.
In fact, to me, the opposite is suggested. That,
yep.
That maybe we won't be so healthy, but we'll learn to trust God
mm-hmm.
with our suffering physically, yeah. or because we don't have a lot of wealth. I just think it would be amazing if we even heard some testimonies from our listeners today mm-hmm. about how God has provided,
mm-hmm.
how they didn't, they weren't setting up their system of priorities for life, and at the top of it was health and wealth or prosperity,
yes.
but it was God.
Yes.
And then, the kingdom of God and preaching the gospel and making sure that others in this unbelieving world have a chance to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd love to hear the testimonies of those who could say, yes, this is what I did, and yet God still abundantly met all of my needs.
Yeah. Interesting, when we have that gravestone put up and the message that's on our gravestone, I don't know of many that the important part of that gravestone is, lived a healthy life and had lots of money, like that was the emphasis of their entire lives. And there are some things, Pastor Love, some fallacies that the prosperity gospel teaches that maybe we can dive into. I know we have some comments coming in, but But, you know, for instance, what do you think about the statement that because the Abrahamic covenant promised the seeds of Abraham a blessing, that, you know, that's fallen to us, and that we are not living in that covenant if we don't embrace that philosophy, and we're not being blessed?
Well, as believers, we have a spiritual mindset. And if we have a spiritual mindset, we will immediately discover, based upon what Paul wrote to the Ephesians, we have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. You see, we are talking about riches, but we're talking about the right kind of riches.
Exactly.
We're talking about spiritual wealth, not material wealth. Because, again, anything that involves material wealth, let's say they're objects, things, possessions, well, they all end up in the same place, in the dump.
That's right.
Right? No matter what it is, I mean, it might be an antique or it might be a relic, and that might last for centuries, but by and large, everything that we get, we lose. So let's focus on those things which are eternal, because even Jesus said, you've got to be careful and guard your heart about this whole business of serving two masters.
Because
that's where it can lead in a believer's life.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't do so successfully, right? We can't serve God and mammon at the same time. Another thought is that, you know, this thought that there's healing in the atonement, you know, and the misuse of this verse, that the healing refers to both physical and financial healing, you know, that our needs are met. And again, missing the main point of the healing by the stripes of Christ, and what it's speaking to, spiritual death.
Yeah. And that's just so unfortunate, because God is always so much more interested in our greater needs than what we consider to be our needs.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we could say, well, it's kind of like when Christ came, we're celebrating Christmas. You know, and the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, anticipated the Messiah coming. And the whole anticipation was based upon, he's going to deliver us from Rome. Mm-hmm. When Jesus would say, no, I'm here to deliver you from sin.
Wow.
Well, no, he's going to deliver us from Caesar. No, I'm going to deliver you from Satan. He always does and meets the greater needs in our lives, not those superficial temporal needs, which obviously, you know, he could do that, but he's always more focused on what we really need as those in this world, and learning to depend upon him.
Yeah. I'm reminded about Acts chapter 3 and the man who was lame from the time of his birth. And he's sitting at the gate, beautiful, saying, you know, alms, alms, I need alms. I need, I have need, I have need, I have need. And of course, the disciples look at him and fix their eyes upon him, which is already an amazing thing that they would fix their eyes on a person who's in need. You know, so many times at an intersection, we turn our eyes away. But they knew that the real issue at stake there was, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give it unto you. And immediately the man's restoration came in a way that he never would have imagined, but it came through the gift of God. I don't know how much faith he had to say, you know, I'm going to get healed today at the Gate Beautiful. I think he went there looking for his needs to be met. But the grace of God went so far above and beyond what he could ever ask or think, that he had not only his needs to be able to eat, because he was certainly able to go and create his own possibilities for food, but he had his physical health restored in a way that was not supposed to be possible in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Can you imagine that story written in a different way? You know, he approaches Peter and John at the temple gate and says, can you help me out? And Peter says to John, do you have anything? Do you got any silver? Do you have any gold?
Yeah.
He's, I don't. Peter, do you have anything? I don't. And they just look at the man and say, Sorry.
You're out of
luck. Really sorry.
You know, if you had more faith, we might have some
yeah,
healing
exactly.
For you.
Well, if they brought the prosperity message, they might have said that to him. Who
exactly.
knows? But the point is, as you said, here they were without silver and gold, and yet they had a power that impacted the first generation and essentially changed the world to the extent that people said, they've turned the world upside down.
Yeah.
Or right side up.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And just look at the examples that we have to look at in the faith. I mean, first of all, Christ himself, you know, this was a king. The king of the Jews came, and he did not set up a tremendous palace with servants running around serving him. You know, he came and he preached the gospel to the poor and to the broken, to the prostitutes, to the destitutes. He made his home among people that had the greatest need. When asked about it, he said, you know, really that those that don't have, those that are ill have need of the doctor. Those that are not ill don't have need of a doctor. And his entire ministry, you know, when he's feeding the 5,000, he's got a few loaves and a few fishes. And it's not based on all of this. Well, I mean, God, if he wanted us to live this way, wouldn't he have made himself the biggest example of that? I mean, Christ is the object of our faith. And what is the, as you mentioned earlier, he comes to the world and he's born in a manger, you know, and he enters the city on a donkey, and he's, you know, not calling on heaven to deliver him from the persecution, but he's remaining faithful, giving till the last moment of every single thing he had for the entire world. Now, that doesn't sound like somebody who's, you know, lacking faith or somebody who's, you know, not believing the way that he should. It's somebody who understands the real heart of God, which is serving others, not being served.
Amen. And that's why he came. Praise God. Let's take our caller. We have Tess joining us live on the Grace Hour today. Tess, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Good morning, Pastor Barry. Good morning, Pastor Love.
Morning.
Yes, I have a testimony when I had a cancer, like I'm a cancer survivor, several years ago. And I just laying on my bed and praying, God, I cannot work. How will I pay my rent? And how will I, buy my basic needs? And then just most of my friends came and they gave money in envelope and put money in my account. One came to clean my home. One came with food. And that's amazing how God really provide for you without striving, moving friends to do this for you. He's just so faithful. So I am so really amazed that God is really see your need, not our want.
Amen. And you are rich in terms of friendship, Tess, as you share that testimony. It just shows you what real wealth is from God's perspective.
Yes, I do. Even though I am here in Baltimore from Sweden to visit, and I'm staying in a friend's house for free, just will share my food. Of course, I have to buy it, but just eat what I have. And I said, oh, I'm so grateful. Just come to Sweden, too, and it's pre-board and lodging, too. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
We're familiar with that little adage that says it's not about, you know, having what you want. It's about wanting what you have and being thankful for it. You know, that's what it's all about, just being grateful for what we have. You might not have the biggest house, but you can say, God, I thank you that you've given me this house, and it's such a blessing, and I cannot thank you enough. I wake up with a roof over my head each day. I'm warm in the wintertime, maybe even cool in the summertime. I'm grateful. I'm going to leave my house, and I'm going to step into my car. Is it the best car in the world? Do I step into a Rolls Royce every morning? No, but I don't need to.
No,
I have what you have provided, and I'm so grateful and so content with it. Let's go to Carol next. I think Carol has a testimony as well. Carol, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Good morning. I've got a testimony. We just had a house fire in our apartment building. We were all evacuated. We left with what we had on our backs. And God has made a way every single step. Red Cross kicked in. We were transported to our convention center downtown from the and we were fed and had provisions. Then now I'm in the Comfort Inn. The bus took us over to the Comfort Inn. I was able to get my medications, my ID, my Bible, tracts.
Praise God.
And I'm just praising the Lord.
That's great.
All I'm asking is that, you know, I can get, I even got a phone charger yesterday, cell phone charger, and people have been helping me in the body here, Pittsburgh. So we're all hoping and praying that we can get access to the building when they get done with their investigations. We lost two people in the fire over there to Roosevelt, and I think two firemen were hurt, but they took me down in this particular chair, you know, down the stairwell from the 12th floor.
Wow.
I was praising God and thanking him for the men audibly. Tell them, you're a gift, you're of God. You're of God and you're a provision. Wow. God bless you. Made me think of 9/11, you know?
Yes.
12 floors.
Wow.
And just praying that we can get access back to our building to get, like, I need my motorized wheelchair. Other people need things, so I'm just praising the Lord, and just, it's, you know, you know that God is faithful. You know he'll provide. You know, you have his life in you. You have his word and the comfort. But when you're face at that wall and you see him come through, leading you literally through the wilderness.
Wow.
I just wanted to share that.
That's amazing.
No matter what you're going through, sickness, tragedy, whatever it is, he's the provision. He will provide.
What a great testimony, Carol. In light of all that you've been through, here you are celebrating, rejoicing, magnifying God. I mean, what more can we say that you are the essence of what we're talking about in terms of soul prosperity?
Beautiful.
It's because of him.
Amen. Thank you so much for the call, and we'll be praying for you that God will restore all that you need.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you.
I'm reminded of a time when, back in the 90s, when my dad was going to Johns Hopkins, and he had been diagnosed with cancer. And I remember the week leading, he kind of got some bad news, and his doctor said, you're going to have to come in and talk to me. And I remember how, you know, kind of downtrodden I was in my heart about his situation and, you know, his apparent end, you know, coming soon. And I'll never forget driving down to the hospital and just kind of being contemplative and quiet. And, you know, we got into the room, and he literally could not wait to talk to certain doctors and nurses and people in the area. And he said, hey, I'm going home soon. I don't have any time left. I got to get about sharing the gospel with these people, you know? And to me, it was such a clear revelation of what our priorities are. You know, here's somebody who's has a walk with God and is at the close to the end of their life, and his entire purpose was not to be downtrodden and to worry about, you know, what was happening here or what he was losing here, but an opportunity to share the gospel. And I think that revealed to me something that can only come when you have your understanding of the will of God for your life is clear. And it was such a personal testimony to me that when the worst situations are happening, and I just was reminded of that as Carol is sharing, you know, she's in a situation where she's been displaced from her home. She has 12 stories to go down in a chair, you know, life situations. And she's laughing with us on the radio and rejoicing, saying, I even got my Bible and some tracts. And, you know, she understands the heart of God no matter what situation she's put in, that she's going to reveal Christ. It's such a beautiful testimony.
It really is. Very, very encouraging. Thank you, Carol, for calling and sharing. You know, I think of the Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches. Then he says in verse 9, lest I be full and deny you and say, who's the Lord or who needs him? Or lest I be poor and steal and then take the name of God in vain and bring reproach upon his name. So there's that beautiful balance. Does God want us poor? No. Nope. No, absolutely not. No, there's no, you know, monopoly on poverty.
Yes.
Does he want us rich? No. What does he want us to do? He wants us to be balanced.
Yeah.
To meet our needs, but then don't trust in the riches that this world affords us. I'll never forget Pastor Barry, quick testimony. After a game at Madison Square Garden, we were leaving the building and we ran into an entertainer who was quite popular. And He asked, he saw the credential that I was wearing around my neck, which gives us access to, you know, pray and, mm-hmm. and have chapel service with the players. And he said, what is that? And I said, well, you know, we run a chapel program with the NBA players. And he says, well, what does that mean? And I said, well, we go in, we have a Bible study. He says, so you're a pastor? I said, yes. He says, well, could you pray with me? Mm-hmm. And I said, I'd be happy to. I said, what is it that you'd like to pray about? He says, well, I'm about to sign the most lucrative contract in my life for a television show, and I'll make $30 million. And I said, and what's your prayer request? And he said, I don't want to forget God.
Wow. Wow.
And I said, oh, I would be happy to pray with you. And as I said, let's bow our heads, he says, can we get on our knees?
Wow.
And I said, absolutely. Hmm. There we are, you know, inside Madison Square Garden. I mean, the building was almost vacant, but we were praying together. And by the time we finished praying, tears streaming down his eyes.
Wow.
And he said, I just don't want to forget God. Mm. Because it's almost as if he knew that all of that money could lead to that as an end.
Absolutely.
What a danger there is in that. So, you know, part of us are thinking to ourselves, we got to be careful with wealth.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know. We all say, oh, I'd like to win the lottery just to see, you know, how it would. I don't know. I think that maybe God says, no, I wouldn't. I love you too much to do that.
I'm sparing you. The only thing that would have been a better ending to that story is if he didn't forget you in that $30 million.
Yeah. Well, in reality, he hasn't, because to this day, he kind of is a regular at Madison Square Garden. Mm. When I see him, he always refers to me as, you're my pastor.
Wow.
That's what he says.
Wow, that's amazing.
I mean, you know, we don't have a lot of contact, but and by the way, I should note that sometime after that time, he was in a horrific automobile accident.
Oh, wow.
Where a close associate and friend was killed, and he himself was hospitalized for over a year.
Oh my goodness.
So he's seen both sides of that.
Absolutely.
And seems like he has a genuine faith in God.
Wow. Beautiful.
Couple of minutes left in the broadcast, Pastor Barry. Any final thoughts before we wrap up this edition of the Grace Hour?
Just interesting. You know, I read one little portion here that more than a century ago, speaking to then the largest congregation in all Christendom, Charles Spurgeon said, I believe that it is anti-Christian and unholy for any Christian to live with the object of accumulating wealth. You will say, are we not to strive all that we can get all the money we can? You may do so. And I cannot doubt but what in doing so, you may do service to the cause of God. But what I said was to live with the object of accumulating wealth is anti-Christian. Ooh. And I just thought, boy, it's an interesting thing that, you know, as you just mentioned, that the wealth could become the object of our faith. And that is not what Christ's desire is for our life, but his desire for us, as the Apostle Paul said towards the end of his ministry, is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may know him in his suffering, that I may know him as my provision.
And Paul wrote to Timothy, and didn't he remind Timothy that he has to be careful with riches, because those who have accumulated riches have pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Wow.
I mean, don't we have enough sorrows?
We do.
we don't need to add to it by accumulating wealth and then piercing ourselves or piercing our souls with many sorrows.
Yeah. Wow.
I remember graduating from Bible college. My father at the time was coming up for the graduation ceremony, and he said to me on the phone before the, you know, this was a couple of weeks before he came up to Lenox at that time. He said, oh, he says, I'm so glad. I'm happy for you. He says, now you can make the real money. I said to him on the phone, I says, Dad, you know, it's not about the money.
Mm.
And he says, but, you know, he says, we hear a lot about that on TV, you know, bigger cars, bigger houses, golden doorknobs on your doghouse. And I said, no, I says, I'm not, you know, I have no desire as I think about the work of the ministry and relate it to money.
Yeah.
I mean, I think both of us, we're kind of like, I'm overwhelmed when I think for the last almost 40 years, my salary has been paid by the offerings and the tithes of those in this congregation.
Mm. Yeah.
That's very humbling.
It is.
That is, to me, that is just sacred ground.
Mm. It really
so,
is. Yeah.
Well, we'll close on that note. Thanks, yeah. Pastor Barry.
Thank you.
I think we've done service to addressing this theme, and we'll continue to do so tomorrow, friends, on the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you'll be back with us in a little less than 24 hours. Until then, may God bless you.